1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. And the sounds there are the sounds of the Musicians International Conference being held this week in Los Angeles. And in a moment, we're going to be joined by Jeff Dowder to talk about Napster. This is the Phil Hendry Show, and Napster still dominates the news. Napster, this is a site on the International World Wide Web that you can go to and download music using the technology known as MP3. It's a kind of player, if you will. MP3 technology enables one to go to Napster and download music from various artists. Problem being, a lot of those artists whose music is being downloaded feel they ought to be paid. And I say that, you know, I'm not trying to inject any sense of irony in that. That's certainly a legitimate request. And some artists don't think that they need to be paid. For instance, Offspring is a band that believes that if you download their music on Napster, then you're going to get intrigued enough by their music to go out and buy their CD. That it's a promotional tool, if you will. On the line with us from the Musicians International Conference is Jeff Dowder. And it sounds like things are warming up a little bit over there, Jeff.
Yeah, right now, Phil, we're going to go in and do a seminar. Musician seminar on drumming techniques, and we're also going to be talking about Napster too.
Where your band Dark Horse is one of those groups that I guess you, one could say is at the beginning stages of a career.
Right now, the music I think is the most important thing. Dark Horse is. I try to make this point last half hour in the conference that Napster is a ripoff. Because in the old days of music, even a minstrel would go to town, and people would pay them what they could pay them if you play a song for them. And what Napster's doing is they're even making that tradition obsolete. And I think that at least...
So you guys feel you ought to be paid at least something.
I think that we should be paid a nominal fee of some kind. If a kid goes to Napster and downloads my music, I'm really happy to hear about it. And I'm happy to know that he's having a good time, okay? With a kid sitting out there in suburbia who got a computer that his mommy and daddy bought him, okay? And, you know, like one of you, I mean, I'm not saying your kids are bad, but you said one of your kids has got a CD.
Yeah, one of our guys, a few of our guys have got CD burners. One of our kids, Alex, has a CD burner.
When's the last time he bought a CD?
God, that's a really good question. I don't think I've ever seen Alex buy a CD.
He gets everything off of the Napster.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. I know that he got finished. There's CDs laying around our house that say Alex's mix on it, and it's a variety of tracks from Korn, Marilyn Manson, this other band that the guys are really into right now. You know, Limp Bizkit. Bands like that.
Yeah, but I mean, what you're talking about is downloading the music for free, okay?
And no doubt. He is, no doubt, maybe one of them. No, but no doubt he is doing that, and he is downloading the music for free, and that's the attraction, right?
Yeah, and Phil, I'm not here to mess up anybody's fun, but music is for the people, but people need to appreciate it and pay up, even if it isn't the cost of a whole CD. I think you need to pay something. And,
so you're not necessarily asking for $20 or $15?
No, a nominal charge of even if it was 50 cents, even if it's like a quarter to get online and download the music. Because in the old days, you would go from town to town and play your music, and the people would gather around, maybe in the village square or other parts of the village. And then you'd play the banjo or another instrument, and you'd tap dance, too, if you had, a black friend. And the people would say, yeah, thank you for coming into our town. Here is some money for you.
And yeah, I know. So, in other words, they would drop money into the...
they'd drop money into the basket, even in the old days when you were just a musician on the street. But now, a lot of us have recording contracts. A lot of us are on our way to doing some very special things. And we're not going to get paid, okay?
Do you agree with the statements made by members of the group Offspring that this music, when released on Napster, helps promote your band?
Well, right now, we gig at Mr. Pooh's in Redondo Beach. We also, have a variety of other dates. I don't think we need that kind of promotion. I mean, traditionally, people got promotion on the radio. But We just got done with our latest CD, Bar Fight at the Hat.
And what's it called?
Bar Fight at the Hat.
Bar Fight at the Hat.
Yeah.
The Hat is a hamburger place.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it just it was just a sort of something we were tripping on.
The Hat, which is the hamburger place in the valley.
Yeah.
Bar Fight at the Hat. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, we got a lot of other tracks on it. It's Bitchin', Judgment Sunrise, Legend of Mr. Pooh. And we feel that we're being ripped off in a lot of ways, so.
Okay, Jeff Dowder is with us. He's at the International Musicians Conference in Los Angeles. And he's talking to us about Napster, and he does not share the view of some musicians that Napster is a good promotional vehicle. You want to get paid, but paid, doesn't have to be a full amount of money, but it has to be something.
Yeah, absolutely. So we think a nominal fee is something that would be cool. And because I don't want to be ripped off, and I'll tell you right now, these other bands, I agree with Metallica, the biggest offenders are these little kids with their CD burners in their bedrooms, and they sit there all night burning CDs and stealing money from me. And the other kind of guy who steal from Napster are these loser college guys who can't get dates and sit at home like losers downloading my music to try to get a chick. Okay, that I got to go out and play my music to try to get that same chick, okay? So I'm saying that...
Yeah, forget about whether you're getting dates, though.
Well, it's not about getting dates, okay? But I feel it's my right to, you know, if the kid's going to be there, download it, it's my right to hang around a schoolyard and, if possible, get money from the kid who's stealing Dark Horse.
Okay, you had written a song, I think, that appears on one of the CDs. I don't know. These CDs that you've sent over to us are... Are these ones you pressed yourself?
Yeah, these are pressed from the master tapes.
Okay, this is one called Hey Mister, Please Pony Up.
Yeah, I was going to do it live for you, Phil. This is my anti-Napster statement, and I want people just to understand it.
Is this going to be on an album?
Yeah, this will definitely be on our forthcoming album, Bar Fight at the Hat. It's called Hey Mister, Pony Up. Okay, hold on. Hold on for a minute, man. I have to do is just do one thing.
Okay, we're talking with Jeff Dowder.
Yeah, I'm sorry, he'll be in a minute. Yeah.
And he's setting up his, whatever musical instrument.
Hold on for a minute, man, okay?
Yeah, we're holding on. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm going to go right now.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. You ready, Jeff?
I'm ready now, man. It's called Hey, Mister, Please Pony Up. Hey, Mister. I'll sing you a song. Hey, mister, please don't be long. Hey, mister, please put it in the cup. Hey, mister, please pony up. A lot of times when I went to the...
That's good. That's fine. That's fine.
What?
That's fine. That's the...
Well, I want to play the song. I don't have my band with me.
That you don't have to have your band with you, man. That's cool. So that's called Hey, Mister, Pony Up. When he's obviously going to Napster. So today, what we have is not so much the tin cup. We have you guys at Napster wanting to get some money.
Right. Well, I mean, Napster takes the place of the dude sitting on the street trying to get some money.
Craig was just on the computer, and help me if I'm wrong here. How do you spell Dark Horse?
Why?
Because we can't find you anywhere in Napster.
How you spelling it?
How am I spelling D-A-R-K-H-O-R-S-E?
No, it's D-A-R-Q-U-E-H-O-A-R-S-E, Dark Horse, as in a hoarse voice, okay?
Okay, did you get that, Craig? I got it, D-A-R-Q-U-E-H-O-A-R-S-E. See if you can find that on...
It's on there, man, I know it. Bar Fight at the Hat!
Fine. Hold on for just a second, if you wouldn't mind, Jeff. We got to take a break here.
Yeah, okay. I'm at the Musicians International Conference talking a lot about Napster, too.
I know that. And we'll get right back to you, all right? Okay?
What?
Okay, well, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Dowder with the group Dark Horse. He feels that as a musician, it is his right to expect some payment from what he calls little kids who are burning his music on CDs all night long, or loser college guys that sit there, download his music, and try to get the very same chicks that he's been trying to pick up in bars all of his musical life. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about Napster here on The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry here with Jeff Dowder at the International Musicians Conference in Los Angeles. And, Jeff, I wanted to ask you the question. I just want to follow up on something. We're talking about Napster. You say that the only guys that download music, the only people downloading music off of Napster are little kids with CD burners and loser guys in college.
Right. I mean, if you stop to think about it, the only people that are downloading music at Napster are geeks that are hanging around their computer all day long. Well, if you're hanging around your computer all day long, there's no chance in hell that any woman has, you know, ever gotten, you know, that you would ever take a sniff of you, because basically what you're doing is just geeking it all day. And, I mean, that's my message to a lot of these losers out there that are stealing my music, geeking it at a computer. And it,
well, we still haven't found your... Dark Horse is D-A-R-Q-U-E... H-O-A-R-S-E.
No, I said it's D-A-R-Q-U-E-H-O-R-S-E. And
no, you said H-O-A-R-S-E.
No, sir, I did not. No, sir, I did not.
Right, well, you look, D-A-R-Q-U-E-H-O-R-S-E.
That's correct.
And you maintain that the only guys downloading music off of Napster are geeks who don't get chicks.
Right.
Well, why is it that they're causing such a big stink? And why is it that they have the attention of the world?
Well, because there's a lot of losers out there, man. Not all of us can be in a band. And on a 56K modem line, it takes, like, all afternoon to download a three-minute song. And to download a tune like Judgment at Sunrise, which is a 15-minute thematic piece, I could take 6 days, you know? I mean, what kind of a loser, man, has got the time to spend 6 days downloading Stairway to Heaven or Judgment at Sunrise or whatever?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Losers are the guys that are getting it.
That's correct, sir.
All right, Jeff Dowder is with us from Dark Horse. It's the Phil Henry Show. Here is Solana Beach on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, this Jeff... You know, I don't think everybody's a loser that's downloading the music.
Well, who's got the time, man?
Well, yeah, anyways, that's besides the point. I don't think getting chicks has anything to do with Napster. But I do understand your point with that you should maybe get, you know, some money for some of the recordings you've done. So I was talking about maybe there is a good solution to the Napster where maybe some of the live music out there, some stuff from your shows, stuff that we like to go see, that stuff would be legal or not.
See, I mean, a live show, you're not allowed to record because there's a copyright.
Some bands, though, do allow recordings, and it's good. It's a great promotional gig.
If the band allows the recording of their music, it would only follow that they wouldn't have any problem with it being on Napster. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, not necessarily, because you know, like you said, hey, if you go into a studio and you record,
how long you think it takes to download something like?
Hey, man, I do. I get about a 5-minute to 7-minute song, and I have a 56K. I get it in about 8 to 10 minutes.
4 weeks.
No way, man. I just did probably 10 songs today. It doesn't take that long.
56K.
Yeah, well, it depends on what kind of burner you got too. Are you burning it directly on a CD?
I don't burn. No, I just keep it in my hard drive, and I don't do too many burns. I just have it on my hard drive. And
all right.
I
well, you're, basically what you're saying is what you're saying, sir, is that you would live music would be a way of compromising live music on Napster.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the Dead. The Dead did that and allowed them. And
I don't know.
And
I
you
tell
know
you
what?
Some of the best material, our live version of Bar Fight at the Hat,
totally
is and only loser stoner bands like Fish allow the crowd to record their concerts anyway.
Yeah, loser stoner bands, man. I don't know. They're a little bit above and beyond you guys.
Wait, man! Fish, they're stoned in the morning. And stoned in the evening, man.
Hey, I don't really care about their personal habits. What I do care about is their music, and I'm going to go see 5 shows when Fish comes to town because I have a ton of recordings.
Because they're too loaded to see a hold of the microphone right up in front of their face.
Well, that's your personal opinion.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, so that sounds like a fair compromise. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8686. What about live music, Jeff?
It don't make no sense because probably the total classic in our repertoire is the live version we do of Bar Fight at the Hat. Everybody knows that's classic. And if you're going to let people download that, I mean, you know, that's a major part of revenue right there, okay?
And to say that the fans of Phish and the Dead are too stoned...
No, the fans are fine. The band's too stoned.
Yeah, the band is too stoned to see them holding a microphone up in front of them. I think it's almost a slanderous characterization.
Well, I mean, read it and weep. Read it and weep. Phish is ripped.
Here's Gilroy on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Gilroy.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yeah, I love this guy you got on the air right now. He cracks me up.
I don't think he's a musician, though. I think he's a comedian. What?
This guy you got on the air, nobody's heard of Dark Horse. Nobody's going to go on Napster and download Dark Horse.
How do you know, man?
Okay, first of all, Napster doesn't promote bands. People have got to have heard of the band before they download
right.
it. And nobody's heard of Dark Horse.
First of all, we're an L.A. band, man.
Okay, great.
We're an L.A. band, okay? We're not up in Gilroy.
You don't even know how to spell your band. You gave two different spellings on the air.
So did anybody that's listening to the show. Right. You gave out the spelling.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You gave out the spelling D-A-R-Q-U-E-H-O-A-R-A.
No, I did not.
He's just changing the spelling because no matter what you type in, nothing's going to come up. The guy doesn't even have a record out. He's giving you a CDR that he just pulled off of his keyboard.
D-A-R-Q-U-E-H-A-R-S-E.
Dark Arse?
That's a clear different spelling he's giving you now.
No.
That's great.
Look, can we stick to the point? Okay, man. If you want to look up Dark Horse,
The point is Napster's great. It's the free sharing of information.
That's true. If Napster gets shut down,
it doesn't matter. There's going to be other companies that are already on the internet doing the same thing.
When I find out what you do for a living, man, I'll be happy to come into your place of business and start stealing your work, too. You just let me know when and where, man. How about that?
Well, I guess people got the same fear when the first Xerox machine came out. They thought no one was going to buy books anymore.
What about that? Xerox
machine? Because you could photocopy books now.
Absolutely.
People still buy books. You just can't put out a recording of
That's a really good...
music. If you're going to put out music and make money selling it in the stores, you have to do more than that. You got to provide artwork on your album, provide some multimedia
on
your
CD. Even a book says you're not allowed to duplicate it. Even a book says you're not allowed to duplicate it. And they don't do that on a Xerox machine.
How do you spell Dark Horse?
D-A-R-K-A-R-S-E.
Dark Arse.
That's a fourth. No, this guy's just joking around with all of us.
No, I'm not.
I like the dry humor, too, but don't get wrapped up in it.
Here's the trip. I'm saying if you stick your hands down into my pocket and steal from me, I have a right to have the police come and arrest you. Okay? Just like I said. Bar Fight at the Hat is our number one live tune, okay? And people rip me off, I'm going to be pissed off about it. I think it's only natural. Hello?
Yeah, okay,
you digging that?
Get out of here. All right.
I'm digging what you're saying.
Sir, thanks very much for your call. The car phone is crapping out.
All right, man, I'm going to... let me give you another taste of the beauty, man. Here it is, little thing from our album, Bar Fight at the Hat. Just warming up.
And this is Jeff Dowder from Dark Horse.
Okay, here it is.
Is that the only chord you know, man?
What?
That's the only chord I've heard you...
That's the intro.
That's the intro to every song you do.
Well, here it is.
Yeah, that's it. What's that, Bar Fight at the Hat or Judgment at Sunrise?
Well, I'm a drummer, man. I don't know much about...
Okay, well, then play the drums. We're listening to Jeff Dowder set up his drum kit. As soon as he gets it set up, he's going to play a little for us.
What'd you think?
What did I think of what?
That's a little jazz.
I'll get out of here. And turn off that Mardi Gras sound effect. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Okay, Phil Henry Show here. I'm having an argument with, and I don't know why I'm having this argument with the Melissa Morgan, the great Melissa Morgan, and Mike Schaefer about German and English being very similar languages, and they dismiss me out of hand. They walk back into the studio there where they're into their little hole where they answer phones and do writing, and they're thumbing their nose at me, and they're saying, screw you, we hate you. I said, German and English are similar in that, for instance, what is dein Name? What is your name? How more similar could it be? However, in Spanish, the word for love is amor. In English, the word for love is love. So they're very different languages, see? And they don't care. They're in there smoking joints, drinking tequila, doing hard drugs. They're not listening. All right, speaking of drinking tequila, we were trying to get this guest on a couple of weeks ago to talk about the agave shortage in Mexico and the need for, I guess, more agave, to grow more agave plants so that the price can begin to come down. Because the price of tequila has gone up some 30% in the last, 6 months because of this agave shortage. Agave is the cactus that tequila, really good tequila, is made from. And we weren't able to talk to that gentleman then, but we're able to get him back on right now. Dave Oliva has joined us from Los Angeles. And David, you are of Mexican-American descent. You do have family in the tequila business in Mexico, and they're beginning to sort of feel the crunch a little bit, right?
Well, there's no doubt about it, Phil. This is a shortage, I think, that can affect a lot of families because a lot of the tequila growers, tequila makers in Mexico are they're small operations, it's not like Jose Cuervo or something like that. But this is a agave shortage. It's making it hard to produce the liquor, and it's driving the prices up.
All right. What's going to help this? What do? Do you plant more agave?
Well, we can't sit by, I don't think, and see this happen. Mexico is the home of my relatives and my ancestors, and tequila is the national drink. I've got a lot of relatives who live down there. But there'll be a lot less people getting together, and I think the thing that's going to help is to let the American people know that as long as there's a tequila shortage, there's going to be a lot less people getting together and hooking up,
And a lot of people not getting together and hooking up. Why?
Because I think there'll be in America, you're not going to be hooking up with the women.
Why? Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, here in America, because I was born here. When you don't have as many good-looking women as you do in Latin America, okay?
You don't think that in America we have as many good-looking women as Latin America does?
Well, I think the women in Latin America are a little bit better looking. The women here need... I'm not saying that the women here are not good-looking, okay? I'm saying that that what you need over here is, yeah, okay, they're okay-looking, but you also need to have maybe some tequila. Whereas in Mexico...
Well, that's an interesting point of view, because tequila was developed in Mexico.
It was developed in Mexico just as primarily to export to America, because...
All right, let me interrupt you, because if I'm hearing you right, we need more tequila in America, otherwise guys won't be picking up women?
Well, what I'm saying is the women here need for men to drink fairly consistently of the tequila, okay, so that they get to a place where they can begin to consider making love to them. I mean, if you make the mistake of getting one of them knocked up, you'll need more tequila to get married to her. Okay, what I'm saying?
Well, what you're saying here, and I... All right.
I'm calling on President Clinton to free up the agave reserves.
Well, hold on for a minute. What you're saying here is that we need more tequila in the United States because we're not going to have as many men attracted to women?
I think that there's a risk of that. I think there's a risk it's going to affect the population. Not as many guys are going to want to go to bed with women in America. And that means that as many kids are going to be born.
So, in other words, the American woman is so ugly that...
No, I didn't say that. I said...
Well, you're saying that we got to get plowed on tequila to even consider being with her. Is that what you're saying?
No, sir, I'm not saying that.
Well, what are you saying, sir?
I'm saying that I think Latin American women are a little bit better looking, okay? And I think the reason why men in America drink is to try to slap on some tequila goggles so that the women...
When you call it tequila goggles, does that mean what?
That means so the women start to look better. That's all.
All right. Now, okay. I don't know. How much tequila do we drink in the United States?
Well, there's a fair amount of the market there.
Okay, so we're drinking a lot of tequila.
That is correct. And
all right. You mentioned President Clinton freeing up some kind of an agave reserve.
Yes, sir. I would like to call on President Clinton to free up the agave reserve and to release some agave to bring down the price.
Now, what makes you think that he has agave?
Well, Mr. Henry, I think if you look at his situation, President Clinton was married to Hillary, and also to he had had oral blow sex from Monica Lewinsky.
Wait. Oral blow sex?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're saying oral sex?
Yes, sir, I am. I mean, that's what I meant to say, yeah.
Okay, you don't need to say oral blow sex, just oral sex?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm saying that President Clinton had oral, had blow...
Just say oral sex.
Yes, sir. He got oral sex from Monica Lewinsky. I believe if you put Hillary Clinton together with Monica Lewinsky, there is every indication that President Clinton is a fairly steady consumer of tequila. And I don't know what it is.
Okay, all right. So you're basically saying we need more tequila in the United States. Otherwise, the women are too ugly.
Well, sir, I don't think I said that.
Well, I think I'm hearing you say that, all right? Let me give the phone number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Talking to Dave Oliva. His family is in the tequila business, in the agave growing business in Mexico. There is a shortage. That means that the price of tequila is going up. That means there won't be probably as much sold. And if there isn't as much sold in the United States, don't you think the real issue here, Mr. Oliva, is that the agave growers, the tequila manufacturers and distributors are going to be out a lot of money?
Well, yes, sir. I think that's true.
Because you're trying to make this a problem that the consumer has. And
well, I do believe the consumer has the problem, Mr. Henry, because I think if you look at the per capita consumption in the United States of tequila, I think there's a lot of it going. And like I said, if you look at President Clinton having to get oral blow from...
And forget about oral blow. President Clinton had sex with this woman, Lewinsky.
Yes, sir. I think there's every indication that he sucks down... I mean, Reposado, man, Hermosillo, you name it, man, on a regular basis.
Do you drink tequila, sir?
No, sir, I do not drink tequila.
Why?
Because I don't need it. I have a Latin girlfriend. I have a beautiful Latin girlfriend with a nice butt, but I will tell you, I'm sure a lot of guys would walk into a bar, take a look around, realize the pickings are slim, and go, yo, Cabo Wabo, man, straight up, you know, or yo, Don Julio Blanco, man, straight up, you know, or yo. Jose Cuervo, 1800. Yo.
I got it, okay? Those are all the...
those are all the tequila brands.
Okay. We're talking here with Dave Oliva about the need for more tequila in the United States. Otherwise, there won't be as many men asking women out. You must really think that we're a little stupid here. You know, you must really think that we don't have any social skill.
No, sir, Mr. Henry, I'm not trying to offend anybody.
Well, it sounds to me like you are by saying, and you're offending our women. They're so ugly, a guy's got to slap on tequila goggles. He's got to walk into a bar and go, yo, Cabo Wabo, when he takes a look at the pickings.
Well,
isn't that what you're saying?
Well, I realize how it could sound.
Yeah, it sounds very offensive. Now, you're talking about you've got a Latin girlfriend. Latin women are very beautiful, no doubt about that. But there's all kinds of women in this world. And it doesn't necessarily follow that a guy's got to get stinking on a Cuervo 1800 to ask a girl to dance.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Well, what are you saying?
I'm saying in order to go to bed with her, you can dance with her, but to work up the guts to go to bed with a lot of American women, you've got to get pretty plowed. And that's
well, you know something? I'll tell you this much. I'm married right now. And I'm trying to think if I had to get drunk on tequila.
Well, just think about it now, man, and be careful.
Well.
Yeah, see?
All right. You can't use my example.
Yeah, no. I swear to God, you could ask most guys, okay, that they had to get blind on some form of tequila.
I didn't get blind. I had a couple of drinks.
Well, that's all I'm saying, man. That's all I'm saying, man.
All right, well, hold on here, Dave, and we'll... talk to you in a second. I got to take a break here. We'll give out our phone number, reset what we're talking about here, the agave shortage creating a tequila shortage. Mr. Oliva, whose family is in the tequila business or the tequila manufacturing business, believes that without tequila in the United States, most guys won't work up the nerve enough to take a woman to bed. Now, this is some pretty radical, strange thinking. The fact that a guy has to get plowed on some form of tequila in order to go out with most American women. I think it's a very xenophobic, I think it's an extremely just ethnocentric point of view. I think it's wrong. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here, talking with Dave Oliva. His family is in the agave business, the tequila business in Mexico, and we're talking about the agave shortage and how it's not so much a problem for the distributor or manufacturer as it might be for the consumer. If agave is not consumed in larger quantity in the United States, men don't work up the courage to take American women to bed because, in your mind, they're ugly.
No, sir, I didn't say that. I said,
well, you said something similar to that.
I simply said that a lot of American women are a little bit tough on the eyes to look at, you know, and that I would rather be with a Latin woman. That's all I'm saying, okay?
Tough on the eyes.
Yes, sir. And
you got to slap on tequila goggles.
Yes, sir.
All right, here is Irwin Dale on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, go ahead, sir.
Hey, man, you're crazy, man. You can't be saying stuff like this on the radio. People are going to hear this. You sound stupid.
No, man, I know exactly what I'm talking about. My family's in the business.
No, I don't care if your family's in the business. I think you've been drinking too much of the family's profits.
Oh, yeah?
What's going on.
Well, what do you know about it?
Well, I'll tell you what I know about it.
Have you got a Latin girlfriend or you got an American girlfriend?
I have an American girlfriend.
Okay, man, I mean, you know, if you want to sell out...
What? I'm sorry, what?
You're selling out.
No, I'm not selling out. What do you mean selling out?
Why aren't you with a Mexican girl?
Why should I be, man?
Because you're Mexican, man.
Yeah, I am, but that doesn't mean I have to be with a Mexican woman. You know, I'm American. I live here in America. I can be with anyone I want to be with.
Okay, but let me ask you something. Are you telling me you take American woman to bed and you don't have to have a drink or nothing?
Absolutely.
Well, wow, man.
If you have to go drinking...
Well, what is that supposed to mean? So he doesn't have to take a drink?
Well... I mean, I don't know how hard up he is or whatever, you know. I'm just saying that most guys would have to go to bed with an American woman and have to maybe knock down one.
I don't think so, man. I think you've been drinking too much.
No, I think I know exactly what I'm talking about.
I think you better check to make sure if you've been going to bed with women.
I'm going to bed with women, man.
Are you sure about that, or are you drinking too much?
No, I tell you what, you're the guy who's not drinking no tequila, who's hard up for American women, okay? Are you dating a white chick?
What's that?
You date a white chick?
Yeah, I go with the white chick.
How much tequila do you have to consume in order to get that albino naked, man?
I don't have to drink any.
What kind of ride you got?
Well, I'm driving a Ford.
Okay, I got an El Camino.
Oh, El Camino. So what?
Hey, man, it's better than...
Well, what's this got to do with anything?
Hold on for a minute, man. I'm talking to another Mexican. Okay, what kind of ride you got?
I have a Ford.
What kind of Ford?
Explorer.
A Ford Explorer, man. You have completely sold out to the white woman.
Oh, that's what you think, huh?
Yeah, man. I got an El Camino, gets me to Senorita like you wouldn't believe.
Man, you know what? I think you're jealous.
I ain't jealous of no Ford Explorer, man. Next thing you know, your Firestone tire's going to explode on you.
Oh, come on, man.
That's right, you're jealous. My ride is midnight blue, man.
I think you're jealous.
All right, okay, both of you clowns. Get out of here. I got to drink more tequila. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. We're going to talk about the debates coming up. And by the way, you know, I didn't have to think about that, man. I didn't have to get drunk on tequila before I went out with my wife. I would like everybody in the world to know that. All right. I had a stack of M&Ms on my desk on Friday. The reason why I know this is I came in on Monday and there were some M&Ms there, okay? And not to change the subject, but thinking about tequila makes me want to drink tequila, so I got to start thinking about M&Ms. In any event, here's what happened. There was an ad placed in Radio and Records for my show, big full-page ad, and it has in the ad, it has M&Ms. That's the part of the ad, the artwork of the ad, were all of these different M&Ms. And so what they did was they left a copy of this thing on the table for me, with a bunch of M&Ms, apparently a stack of M&Ms. When I got into work yesterday, there were maybe 10 M&Ms. But today, one of the people from who works around here on another show walked by and said to me, "Hey, Phil, you realize that you had a huge stack of M&Ms on your desk on Friday?" I said, "Really? When I came in today, there was only 10 of them." "Yeah, there were people walking by eating them." They're walking into my office and taking my M&Ms off of my table. Now, there wasn't a sign that said, "Come on in and have an M&M." There wasn't any sign that said, "M&Ms in Phil's office, go on in there, have yourself one." It was a part, it was a nice little gift for me. There wasn't an announcement over the PA around here. And talk about announcing on a PA. We got a PA here at the Premier Radio Network building that people just love to get on there and screw off on. Have you heard these guys? They get on the PA and Eddie Guggenheim, whoever Eddie Guggenheim is, man, they always want him in Studio G, and they're always doing voices, and they're always screwing around on this thing. I don't know whether somebody got on the PA and said, there's M&Ms in Phil's office. You can go in there and stick your greasy mud hooks in there and grab some M&Ms. But I didn't say nothing about that. See, when I went to the Caribbean for the first time, I traveled, as a matter of fact, to Jamaica, and you'll hear people talk, and they'll say this. They'll say, well, you know, in Jamaica, pilfering is actually kind of a national custom. So if you leave change out on your dresser in the hotel room, it's possible that the people who clean up your room might take it. Please don't consider that thievery so much as pilfering. It just seems to be a habit here in Jamaica. And as much as it would pain me to get used to a habit like that, and I don't particularly dig it, I said, well, I'm in their country. I guess I won't leave any change out, okay? Okay, that's Jamaica, man, not in America. Well, I got news for you. It happens in America, and not only that, it happens to be a national custom in this country. People sticking their mud hooks in there and taking my freaking M&Ms. And I guess they consider that to be an acceptable form of some kind of pilfering. But it kind of bugged me a little bit. Not that I would eat M&Ms necessarily, but I took a few home. The 10 that I had there on the table, I took home to the kids. I thought it was a really great treat, and I thought it was a really nice thing that somebody left me 10 M&Ms until I found out that I had 16 bags worth laying there, and everybody from every other show sticking their mud hooks in there. So I would like you to know officially that pilfering happens in America as well. And it's a kind of an interesting thing. If you just leave your desk door open, your office door open near your desk, people will walk in and grab stuff and just walk away. Do I think we have a moral problem? No. Do I think we need to change this behavior? No, not necessarily. I just need to keep a loaded gun in my desk in my office now at work. Not a problem. I'm fine with that. I'm not out to change the world. I'm not out to do anything. I don't care. Just be whatever you want to be. But it would be a nice thing. I guess I'm going to have to start locking my office so that nobody will walk in and grab my M&Ms. You can do whatever you want to do, but if I catch you, I'm going to throw you out of the window, and I'm on the 16th floor. Anyway, it's a very nice thing. And I thought it was particularly interesting that an employee for the Dr. Laura show was the one who informed me of this pilfering. So you know what? They do the right thing over there, man. They're morally on the right course. They said, hey, Phil, people are ripping you off. Look at that. All your M&Ms are gone. I said, where are they? Well, some of them are in my desk. Some of them are down the... Anyway, we're going to talk about the debates coming up. I want to remind you as well that coming up on November the 4th is our Casino Night 2000, starring Dwight Yoakam. Phil Hendry Show and My Friend's Place present Dwight Yoakam at the Santa Monica Museum of Flying, November the 4th. The Museum of Flying is at the Santa Monica Airport. It's conveniently located just south of the 10 freeway at the east end of Santa Monica. Tickets are $250 per person, 323-908-0011. Extension 102 is the number to call for more information.